listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 264 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, where on today's episode, we're going to be breaking down the whole Facebook live stream controversy. And the good news is, artists, you don't need to panic. So just sit back, relax, grab a cold beverage, and you're just going to feel better about your ability to live stream on the platform after some crazy news was spreading over the last couple weeks about Facebook eliminating that option for artists. It's okay. It's not true. And we're going to break it all down for you today. My name is Kevin Bruner, and joining me is Chris Robley. Chris, how are you doing?
Good. I'm not panicked. I'm feeling very calm.
Good.
What I'm wondering, though, is now that you've assured everyone they shouldn't panic, are they even going to listen to this episode? I mean, you can
they
just
will.
Go about your lives, people.
I just said about Facebook. There's plenty of other things to panic about.
That's true. Quite true.
We don't normally delve into our personal lives beyond music, but as some of you may have heard or known, we had massive forest fires around the Portland, Oregon area, and then this cloud of smoke just settled in our area where the scale of bad air quality from zero being perfectly clear to 500 being don't go outside without a gas mask, being very hazard. We were way beyond the scale, and it just sat here for a long time. So we're all, please rain, please rain. That's what we wanted. You know, in the Northwest, we never ask for it to rain. And
we got your wish in spades.
I woke up in the middle of the night, no power, torrential downpour, window wells to my basement filling up, water gushing into my basement. I'm out there bailing in the middle of the night, screaming at the skies, 2020, what is wrong with you? Can't do so. Don't panic about Facebook, but there might be other things to panic about.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, then there's the constant other things running in the background that you could panic about as well. But yeah,
but this is a safe space. We're here to relax and have fun together.
Yeah, well, so I mean, I know this is going to be the bulk of our discussion later, but it's funny to me, this was this Facebook topic and how things may or may not be changing in regard to how musicians can do live stream concerts on Facebook Live was so big a news story, at least within the music community, that we have already done a YouTube and a Facebook Live discussion about it. We went live on Instagram. There was a lot of, I was going to say fires to put out, but I know that strikes kind of close to home. But with a lot of panic to quell.
Yes.
And I feel like you need to start billing Facebook.
Yeah. Yes. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But before that, a couple things I wanted to remind you of, that we do have a new podcast. It's DIY Musician Stories. It's a different podcast. This podcast you're listening to is about marketing your music, moving your career forward, strategy, tips and tricks to build your audience. Where that podcast is about the artist journey, their story, their inspiration, and how they create their music and sort of their, you know, their story arc. And that's what that podcast is about. It's been down this feed many times, and at some point we'll probably just shift it over to its own feed. It has its own feed. I want to make that clear. It has its own feed, and you should go subscribe to it on its own feed, because at some point we probably will stop sending it down this feed as well, because you are subscribed to the DIY Musician Podcast. So anyway, if you haven't checked that one out, please do so. It's a really cool podcast. Also, you know, it's always a good reminder that Chris and I work at CD Baby, and we try to go light on the mentions, but just distribute your music at cdbaby.com. Save yourself the trouble.
I love this, this commercial that you're turning this segment into has like a little bit of guilt in it too. Just do it. Not your guilt. I mean, you're putting guilt on them.
I was on Twitter yesterday and saw an artist say, man, I get paid so much more money from CD Baby compared to distributor X, who shall remain nameless. Somebody who claims big claims. But again, when you, we, that's where I like when, you know, we've talked about that CD Baby takes 9%, and some people use that as a reason to go elsewhere. But you want the people that are working on your behalf to have a vested interest in your music. We make sure that your music, your tracks, are making as most money as possible around the world, and we do the work to collect that for you. Other people don't have that incentive. It's just work. It's just more cost. We are aligned with you, and we want you to have success. So there it is. Go to cdbaby.com, distribute your music worldwide. There's no better time than now. And
can I piggyback on that real quick, though, before you
move
on?
Yes, you can.
Let me say one thing. So last week, we did a big push to make sure that everyone out there knows that we do really serious sync licensing. We've got a team of people that have all great relationships with music supervisors. We're licensing a ton of music to every network and, you know, film studio you could think of. And the best part of that week was we asked a question. We're just like, you know, have you had your music licensed recently or something like that? And someone wrote back, yeah, actually, CD Baby put one of my songs in the TV show Seal Team. And it was the best thing that happened to me all year. And so that was really awesome to see. And those are the types of things that you don't have to pay extra for with CD Baby. We include it. And it's not just like a, you know, I shouldn't even say extra. It's like, it's a serious service that comes along. It's bundled with distribution. And another reason you should use CD Baby, because we want you to take advantage of all the opportunities we provide.
Yeah, we've been getting an enormous amount of momentum on that front. And if you've been streaming a lot of Netflix over the course of this pandemic, which you probably have, highly likely you've heard CD Baby artist music in the shows, because we have so many Netflix placements. It's crazy. And yes, free service. You just have to check a box and grant us the rights to take part in that. So, yeah, now that we've settled it, let's move on.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a quick lightning round news session. That's going to be lightning round. Then we're going to talk about the Facebook news. And then we've got some great calls that will be coming up later in the podcast. And, you know, we've been asking for a big question up front. If I'd be interested with this one. If you have been having any sort of issues live streaming on Facebook, we want to hear about it. You can call our listener line at 360-524-2209 and email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. I've spent a lot of time talking to artists online because I wrote something on Facebook that got shared a ton and was able to help some people troubleshoot and really find out what their real issue is. And you'll hear more about that coming up in a little bit. But first, lightning news round. Chris, we had, I can't remember if we mentioned it on the podcast because you and I have been talking so much on various platforms, but Amazon connected Twitch and you can live stream Twitch right from Amazon Music. First DSP to do that. I think it's a really cool thing.
It's amazing. Yeah, really gonna, it's actually the thing that's making me want to finally start using Twitch.
And Amazon Music, because, you know, I've said on this podcast, for Small Town Poets, the band I'm in, Amazon Music has become the number one platform, or the number two platform that people are streaming our music from. And Alexa is a thing, and people talking to Alexa, and you can see that data through Amazon Music for Artists that you can get through your CD Baby account. But that's something that's very noteworthy and you should keep your eye on. What's up next?
So the second thing is also about live streaming, and that's you can now list your live streams on Spotify, on your Spotify profile, in the same way that you could do your concert calendar through Songkick. So if you've got a Songkick account where you're listing live events, or, you know, where once upon a time before COVID, you listed your live events and they showed up on Spotify, you can now do the same thing for live streams. And that can be on pretty much any live stream platform. It could be Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, your own website. Just as long as you've got the details in Songkick correctly, it'll show up on Spotify, and then you can pin that event like through your artist pick. So it's just another way to kind of, you know, use whatever attention you've already got on your Spotify profile to draw attention to your virtual events.
Yeah. And that's something that if you are trying that out and seeing some success, let us know. You got the deets already at the start of this segment to call us or email us. Up next, I'll say we started distributing to Rezo, which if you're in the United States, you may be going, what's Rezo? But Rezo is the streaming platform that is owned by ByteDance, who for the time being owns TikTok, or at least, I don't know what the whole mess there, and we're going to get to that in a second. But but anyway, the people that own TikTok started a streaming platform, and it's pretty big in other parts of the world. It's coming to the United States soon, and we now distribute to it. It's another major player that's making some moves that if all you do is pay attention to what's going on in the United States, you're missing some big things. So that's something that you get for free, no extra charge from CD Baby. We automatically get your music there because remember, we want your music making the most money possible. That's one of the benefits. So
yeah,
there you go.
And when we announced this partnership, Rezo was available in Brazil, Indonesia, and India, which are, you know, three enormous markets. So even if sort of worst case scenario, it never comes to the United States or, you know, North America or anything like that, it's, your music is available in a huge global marketplace.
Yeah, it's they're investing a lot in Brazil and India. And I know they have plans to come to the United States. I thought I heard a timeline at one point, but you never know with these things. So, and lastly, TikTok in the United States seems to have received a stay of execution. There was this threat that they were going to be taken down from the App Store and you can no longer download it, but it seems like a deal has been reached. So TikTok will stay. For now.
Yeah, so I barely follow this story for at some point I lost interest, but it seemed last I heard, and this was last week, Oracle was going to store the data, but ByteDance would retain sort of a majority ownership. Is that still the details as of this week?
I don't know. Same thing. I lost interest. So it
all right. Well, then, as did everyone listening.
It just seemed like a lot of positioning to make sure that no one in China was doing anything nefarious with the data, apparently, which was the initial concern. And some other countries had actually banned it and stuff. And so
I prefer American companies to be doing nefarious things with our data.
Yeah, you know, keep your enemies close. anyway, so that's all I got, Chris. It was a good lightning round, though. Some meaty things happening, lots of new stuff with live streaming. And, you know, I'm really excited about that Amazon one. I think that's something where we've been waiting for another DSP, digital service provider, with deep pockets to make some big moves that really get people excited to, you know, Spotify has been riding number one for a while. Apple, it's like, not sure what's going on there. They've been making some moves, but they've got deep pockets and can go faster. So I'm not sure what their strategy is there. But Amazon clearly is turning the jets on and doing some cool stuff. So that's where you got to dive into that data and make sure that you understand how your fans are using each platform and which platform your fans are at. All right. So this is how the story goes relating to Facebook. It's Saturday morning. I wake up. Overslept. Good Saturday. You can do that. And I open up my phone and I'm just kind of laying there in bed. And every feed that I see is a different story about the end of the world because Facebook is going to shut off and cancel any artist account that tries the live stream. I click on multiple articles with the most sensational headlines. And, you know, when you see these articles, people, one thing that's a clue is when the copy in the body says nothing to the statement of the sensationalized headline, you probably should get a different news source. But it's easy. We all get sucked into it. It's not a guilt trip. It's just like, take a deep breath and step back and go, wait a minute, does this make sense? Anyway, all these articles saying that there was just false information that we knew because we work here. So I wrote up a quick little post and, it went crazy wild and got shared a ton. And then Chris turned it into a blog post. And we've been talking about it a lot, just helping artists understand that one, there really isn't any changes happening. So to sum up, if you're already bored with this episode, I can make it all simple for you right here and you can skip to the calls or whatever. Basically, nothing's changing. All this October 1st date was just fabricated. nothing's changing. If you've been live streaming and using the Facebook platform for the last 6 months and having no issues, you're golden. Nothing is truly changing. However, a couple months ago, Facebook tried to clarify something they call listening experiences, and that's where these articles took something out of context and exploded it out to make it sensational and cause a lot of confusion. And it is something artists need to understand, so we're going to dive into that.
Before we do, I want to say that I was watching this same conversation happen across, you know, seemingly tens of thousands of musicians all ranting about this. And it seems very, even though it's completely based on misinformation, it seems very of the moment, because probably lots of people have been watching or being told to watch The Social Dilemma, the movie on Netflix. A lot of musician friends I have just harbor this really deep grudge against Facebook for literally something that happened a decade ago at this point, when they throttle your organic reach. But like, there's just all this ill will towards Facebook. And so this seemed to play right into that prejudice, so that everyone instantaneously believed it and got outraged and thought Facebook was literally like putting a closed sign in their storefront or something like that for all these artists. And so that's what I have to say. Calm down, people. Do a little bit more digging, and don't always assume that just these tech giants are out to get you all the time in every possible way.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that was so funny to me, because it's like, we've been talking about on the podcast these improvements that Facebook has been rolling out since the pandemic to enhance the live streaming experience. Some of the features were just in how commenting happens, that which when you were doing your long live stream, that day long or 8 hour live stream, I noticed, hey, this commenting features, there's a whole, it's more robust, it's cool, it's more fun to engage. To Facebook Stars, which both you and I were part of the pilot program that just started rolling out to wider audiences, that allow fans to tip you during your live stream or any video that you upload directly to Facebook. So I'm like, there's all these things they're doing. We're actually partnering with some other things that we just knew was completely false. However, it's important to note that Facebook is in its early stages of their rights management and how they manage rights. So if you remember, we went through this time frame with YouTube where some of the messaging didn't match what was happening and all these use cases and all that. Facebook is still going through that. And it's really important to remember, they are not a music company. I repeat, they are not a music company. They have tens of thousands of employees. Only a small handful of them work on anything related to music. And so it's understandable when you have that context to see, oh, they're not in music communities. When they use certain words, you know, that have probably been lawyered up, they don't understand the nuance us as musicians might perceive them to be. But we do need to clarify a few things. Chris, were you going to say something before we get into the clarification?
I think I was just going to ask, what is a listening experience? In quotes, because I think that was the crux of all of the misinformation and the anger.
Correct. Correct. Because my live stream is clearly a listening experience, isn't it? Wrong. Not according to Facebook.
Right.
Your live stream is a music event. It's a social event where people are commenting, they're sharing, they're actively watching. That is a social engaging event. A listening experience is something intended for someone to push play and then go about their business, whether working on other things, cleaning the house, doing some project with Facebook on in the background. They do not want to be Spotify. They do not want to be YouTube Music, because YouTube Music has some things that you can do on YouTube that you cannot do on Facebook. So what a listening experience is, if we're going to get very specific, you cannot create an album art video, sometimes called art tracks. This is all over YouTube, and it's a great thing on YouTube. It works great. And actually, YouTube Music is all of these things. A lot of artists find these on YouTube and like, how did this get here?
To pause right there, the answer would be, if you're using CD Baby, we distribute your music to YouTube Music, and then they create those art tracks within your topic channel. So it's sort of all official. It's all above board, but they are.
Yeah. Correct.
Part of the YouTube music experience.
And you can also create them yourself and upload them directly to your channel. But that's exactly what Facebook does not want. So an art track is a static image of your album art, and it's a video, but there's no movement on the screen. It's just your album art and your music's playing. So if you upload that to Facebook, it will get muted. You cannot do that. You can also not upload a video that is a static image of nature scenes, like if it's peaceful piano or something. Exact same concept as album art, but it's worth clarifying because people might think, well, that's not album art. Same thing. There's no movement on the screen, and Facebook does not want that. They want something that people are going to be actively engaged in watching. You can upload an official music video. An official music video is going to be your song and video, but there's going to be movement and motion and something for people to watch.
Similarly, you can also upload lyric videos as long as those lyric videos have motion, which presumably there are.
Correct. Here's where I've had some artists tell me where they ran into trouble. You can upload an official music video, but you cannot take two official music videos or more and combine them into one long video and upload it to Facebook, where it looks like you're trying to create a playlist type experience. Because then it's like, well, if there's this 10 minute video, 20 minute video, and all it is various songs, that's a listening experience. There's nothing engaging people on the screen. At some point, they're not going to be sitting there watching. And also, lastly, and then we can dive into some more clarifications if needed with some of these. Lastly, you cannot open up Facebook Live and stream your music like you're streaming it from Spotify, like Facebook Live and here's my music.
You're talking about existing sound recordings. You're not talking about performing live, but just going live to play an existing sound recording. Don't do it.
Yeah, like going live and, you know, because there's lots of tools out there. We use them all the time here at CD Baby to manage a live stream that connects to your accounts. It would be very easy to create a live stream and all I do is just stream music through it and have a static image. You cannot do that. That is a listening experience. So in that, there's a lot of nuances or things that have popped up where we've had artists go, yeah, but it seemed like I did everything right, but then this happened or that happened. And we've got some deeper answers for you related to that. But it's just important to understand, we're saying that a listening experience is something that is intended for someone to push play and just hear audio while they do other things and they're not engaged with the platform. And if you avoid that, you should be fine. One other thing to note, because we get asked a lot about covers, you cannot use other people's master recordings. So if you are using master recordings, you're always going to run into trouble. So don't do that. Covers, by and large, you know, nothing. We talked to Facebook. They said nothing has changed in their rights management for 6 months plus. Nothing's changed. So if you've been doing covers and having no problem, you should see that experience continue. That does not mean every cover song out there in existence has the rights cleared to be used on Facebook, and they have automated tools that find these things, whether Melody Match or just, you know, whatever's going on in order to, you know, trigger rights management.
Well, yeah. And it's an inconsistent application of rights management, but that's not Facebook's fault. That's just that different rights owners and different catalogs, you know, have different stipulations. You know, maybe 75% of the stuff they own is fine for you to cover, but there's just a few artists or a few songs or something that you're going to want to avoid. And unfortunately, I don't think there's a really easy way for you to kind of check that or get approved beforehand. So, you know, by and large, I'd say just go ahead, go live, play the covers you want. And, you know, you might find out the hard way if a video gets muted, but I, last year in 2019, went live, I don't know, 60, 70 times, something like that, played a ton of covers, and none of those videos ever got muted.
Yeah. So, you know, chances are you're going to be fine. I'm like, again, according to Facebook, nothing has changed, because we asked them, why are you guys going to make an official statement? Can you come on the podcast? And they said, as far as we're concerned, nothing has changed. And that's what it is. What people have been experiencing is what they're going to continue to experience. Now, again, this is technology powering this. This is not, you know, an army of 50,000 people monitoring every video going live at any given moment on Facebook. So with technology, there is always going to be false positives. There's always going to be errors. And so it's important to know what the true guidelines are so you can kind of ascertain what it was that triggered something or if it was a mistake. Because I have seen some artists where I felt like, huh, that's interesting. That seems like that might have been a false positive. I've had that happen to me on YouTube with some melody matching stuff.
I mean, and it's an imperfect solution, obviously. Like you said, it's like Facebook has this obligation to protect rights owners' rights, but they also want to keep their platform open to some extent and fun to use and, you know, good for quick inspiration and all that stuff. And so where that perfect balance or middle ground is between those sort of contradicting or what's the word, conflicting aims, is always going to be a moving target. And yeah, so there might be instances where you get caught in that middle ground, but by and large, if you follow the things we're talking about, you should be fine way more often than not.
Yeah. And so here is where it gets interesting, because if you are doing something that Facebook deems as a listening experience, most likely what will happen is that audio will be muted, and it could just be muted for that segment. I talked to an artist who does this a live stream with multiple artists, and it's kind of this whole show, excellent branding. They bounced around. They're all in different places. And she was saying, hey, we don't understand what happened here because it muted my song, but the other songs were fine. And the messaging she got said it was a copyright violation. This is where one of those things where I said it's still in its infant stage, and YouTube had some of these issues early on where some of what was really happening didn't match the messaging you were getting. In her case, it was not truly a copyright violation. It was a listening experience issue because she was standing so still. Facebook decided that this is no longer a live performance. This is just a listening experience, and we're going to mute it. And it's kind of weird muting. It's like, I guess they just assume that if it gets muted, that you'll stop doing whatever you're doing or what. But they even sent me a screenshot, and the notification was about a copyright issue. But if you have a true copyright issue, what we've seen, and again, there's anomalies, there's inconsistencies that can happen. We've seen there be like the only time I've seen it really trigger a copyright issue is if somebody used a master recording that they did not own the rights to, that had been blocked on the platform, and they got a copyright strike. Like the experience was different. It wasn't a muting, it was like a strike. But again, this system, you could see multiple different things. But however, we can confirm that if you're doing a live stream and you're just standing perfectly still, we've seen this happen with DJs, it could trigger a listening experience issue and you might be muted.
So here's the prescription. Rock out. Move your head, bop around, jump up and down.
Yeah, and in this instance, the artist, she was using backing tracks of her music, and she thought, I own this music. Why am I getting a copyright issue? But then when she sent me a link to the video and I saw the other artist performances, they were moving a whole lot more, and she was singing a song just kind of like into it in the mic, and there just wasn't much moving. So again, this stuff is run by computer software that's looking at the pixels on a screen and saying, there is no movement happening here, but there's music playing. And the longer, this is another tip, the longer your video is, the shorter the amount of music and lack of motion on screen it takes to trigger this listening experience problem.
Well, I remember another thing we should talk about, but first, I'm realizing that last week there was two times I was watching an Instagram Live video, and in these two instances, the person stepped off or sort of out of the frame from the camera, so they weren't on screen anymore. And both those instances, something went glitchy with the broadcast, almost like it was stopping. And I thought at the time, I was like, oh, my phone's, you know, getting bad reception or whatever. And now I'm wondering, like, if it, you know, it said for 3-4 seconds, someone hasn't been moving, let's pause this for a second. And then once the person came back onto the screen, the thing resumed. And anyways, I'm not saying that that's definitely what's happening on Instagram. I'm just wondering if it's, you know, something similar.
It could be. I mean, because beyond rights management, there's a lot of bandwidth and stuff they're managing. If everyone opened up their computer, turned on their camera and live streamed the wall.
Not that would be the wall, just the wall. Yeah,
the wall. That would be a lot of bandwidth to manage these things that clearly no one's going to be watching. So there's some practicalities to these as well.
Yeah. I did remember what another thing we definitely want to share, though, is that even if you are performing on your live stream and it's not pre-recorded music, you're going to want to talk between the songs, because it's possible that the listening experience flag or whatever criteria could be met if you just played back to back, you know, even if you're acoustic strumming on your couch, if you played 5, 6, 7, 8 songs in a row without much engaging banter between them, that might be a listening experience to Facebook too. So make sure you pause between songs, ask questions of your audience, talk about the songs or talk about your life or whatever. Just make it something that's social in nature, as opposed to just something that people are going to be, again, like you said, like doing chores or something and have you on in the background.
Yeah. A great thing to do is to, you know, I always like it when, you know, we start a live stream for CD Baby asking people where they're at, where are you from? And it, not only is it a cool thing to get people, like everyone's from somewhere, so they feel less sheepish when, you know, diving into the comments. So it kind of warms them up to be active participants. But it also is a cool thing to just start the engagement with them. And a lot of times people be like, start talking to each other because they're from similar places and all that kind of stuff. So that's a great way to just start driving the engagement. And of course, if you're playing and there's lots of engagement and people are sharing, I'm sure the algorithm factors that in. So it's not just a matter of someone asked about, yeah, but major label artists don't have this problem. I'm sure that they do to some extent. I have not seen many try Facebook Live like a lot of independent artists do, where it's the kind of an ongoing thing. I have seen a couple, but when you already have that status, you're going to have so many people commenting and sharing that I know that that probably impacts how the algorithm determines a listening experience. If it's like there's no action in the comments, nobody's sharing, there's only a minimal watch numbers and nothing's happening on the screen, boom, listening experience. You know, that's some of those things that it, you know, it's going to take into consideration. So yeah, getting people talking. And you know what? That's what you should be doing on a live stream anyway, engaging with people. And if you haven't listened to our Truth About Live Streaming Part 1 and 2, was it 2-parter? Yeah, it was a 2-parter. And then we had a couple artists on. We talk a lot about this kind of stuff, about creating an engaging live stream and, you know, that it's not setting up in the corner and just turning a camera live and playing for an hour straight. And it's not just replicating the concert experience necessarily either. And it's its own animal. And so, yeah, don't do that. Some people that will really will be impacted and have been impacted, because, again, there are no real changes happening. There's nothing that Facebook was just trying to clarify what a listening experience was and didn't really hit the mark. But DJs, this is not the platform for you. If you want to do an hour long DJ set, Twitch is probably that's what people do at Twitch. And that platform is really designed for people that do DJs, for video game artists, you know, people that are live streaming video games. Because we heard from some people that saying that will trigger a listening experience as well, or copyright issues. So those kind of things, I mean, that's, video games different because there is visual intellectual property that's being used. And depending on what game you're playing, you could trigger copyright issues. But this is not the platform for that. And so if that's what you want to do, I would say move to a different platform like Twitch or even YouTube, because you're probably going to have better success and be less frustrated. And the last thing I will say is that this is how it works at this moment when we're recording. We have verified all the information that we have shared. However, we don't work at Facebook. and Facebook could make a change tomorrow, and then it could be different. And I would assume that software is constantly being tweaked and dialed in, even if the overarching rules that are in place do not necessarily change, the way software gets dialed in could. And ultimately, the thing is that these systems have to exist in order for us as artists to get paid for our music being used on these platforms. And so I said that was the last thing I was going to say, but this will be the last thing I'll say, that if you are a part of Facebook and Instagram monetization at CD Baby, your music is being monetized on those platforms, and these systems have to exist in order to make that happen. You can contact us about whitelisting your song or your channel if you do have something that's creating a listening experience. However, it's important to note, when you do that, you turn off monetization on that asset, and that's not a good thing. So ideally, you're avoiding the things that will create a listening experience so your music is fully monetized. And focus on that, and focus on creating an engaging experience that people want to interact with, sit and watch, comment, like, and share, and you should be in good shape. And if you're finding any sort of anomalies, like we said, or having any issues, please let us know. I'd love to hear if something happened to you that everything we just said, man, I listened to it, I let it all sink in, but what just happened to me seems completely different than what they just said. Call our listener line at 360-524-2209 or email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com, because we'd love to see and hear about what you're experiencing.
Yeah, I had a few things to throw on top of that. I forget if you mentioned this early on, but there was a date being thrown around in a lot of these articles that were kind of fear-mongering of October 1st. These changes are going to, you know, drastic changes will be made on October 1st that will now prevent you from doing anything cool on Facebook. So you ran that by our contacts, right? And again, they said, we don't know where that came from. Literally nothing is changing. Everything's the same as it's been for at least 6 months. So don't be waiting for the apocalypse. Just keep doing what you're doing. And then I alluded to this, but again, there's no perfect solution. So you might, if you have a regular habit of going live on Facebook, you might occasionally trigger one of these things and have a video muted. You should probably ahead of time build that in, build a little bit of momentary disappointment in and a few fails. It doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong necessarily. But just expect that to happen once in a while, because even with cover songs, they have a melody detection software that does actually pretty amazing job at determining what covers you're playing, even if you don't list them or mention them out loud. And, you know, plenty of covers are fair game, and a few of them might trigger the warning. So,
yeah. Then the funny thing is, Facebook has a very brief update that they posted in May that sort of started this whole thing, but apparently nobody really noticed it until more recently. Not once in any of their messaging did they mention anything about a date. I read it. I read their terms of service. There's nothing in there. So, you know, people, you may not have noticed, but the media likes to lie to us because they know when we go crazy, we click on stuff. And we've all fallen for it, but here's an example of it right here, that everything's fine. All right. Well, I hope that helps. I thank a lot of the artists out there that have shown me examples so we can help kind of understand what's being messaged in the wild, because that's part of the strength of our community when we all work together, because some of these things you can experience something and just get one message. But then when you see what all artists are doing and kind of understand exactly what was happening, it's easier to kind of whittle it down to, oh, all these things are an example of this, and don't do that. So hope that all helps. All right. We've got some great calls, and I think we should move on to that. And if you'd like to weigh in on a topic or call our listener line, you can do so at 360-524-2209, or email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. And let's get to our first call, which is a follow-up from one of our previous episodes where someone was using some, gave some marketing advice, and we asked them a follow-up question. So here it is. This is Jessica.
Hi, guys. It's Jessica Girono. I'm Dante Mazzetti's manager. I called in the other day, and Kevin wanted to hear more about Dante's ads because, yes, we are actually using downloads to get potential fans to sign up for Dante's email list. And, yes, it's actually working very well. So, listen, there's three big reasons why it's working for us. Number one is genre. Like Kevin said, genre really matters here. Dante plays alternative roots music. It's kind of a mix of Bob Dylan and Tom Waits. It's like a gritty Americana. So what I've been seeing is that physical music sales and downloads are still working well in certain genres like folk, Americana, country, really any American roots music and metal. Perhaps there's more, but that's just what I'm personally seeing. And secondly, the reason this is working is because the ads are targeting people who've already interacted with Dante in some way, usually through his live streams. And the third big reason is that the downloads are working because Dante offers a series of downloads. We call it 5 days of alternative roots music. You guys can even check out the page. It's 5daysofmusic.com/free. And you and your listeners can even feel free to sign up so you can see exactly how we're doing it. We give the person a 5-day email welcome sequence. Each day they get a new song with something that Dante wrote about the song. So they're getting a bit of an experience or journey rather than just an email that says, here's your free download. So yeah, there's a whole infrastructure that's been very thought out, very intentional, and it takes the potential fan on a bit of a journey to try to create a relationship. Listen, I could go on all day about this stuff, but yeah, you can go to 5daysofmusic.com/free if you want to see how we do it. Also, I have a burning question for you guys. Do you have any inside information on the update to Facebook Terms of Service? Are they going to be implementing a 3-strikes-and-you're-out policy similar to YouTube, or are they going to just start pulling down people's sites who are doing covers or have done covers? I know independent artists are really worried about this, so any information you guys can give us about this would be greatly appreciated. Thank you guys for everything you do. You're amazing. Love you. Bye.
All right. Well, thanks for the follow-up, Jessica. So obviously the second half of her question, we answered with the episode.
And then the first half, that makes so much more sense to me because what I was imagining initially, was this in the last episode or one of the last few episodes?
I think it was 2 episodes ago. I can't remember.
Okay. So what I initially imagined was like a Facebook lead capture ad that literally just said something like, you know, like get a free MP3 or something like that. Download a song for free. But it seems like what's actually happening is it's the appeal definitely isn't in the file format. It's like the journey. It's like this rich experience, stories, you know, you get like this 3D picture of the artist. And it's really not about the MP3 download so much as it is this whole thing. So that makes way more sense to me. I mean, I've done that myself for my last album. I think those things are awesome. But it's definitely more work and more of an offer than simply like, here's one free download.
I think it also highlights that you got to try things. Because if you just make general assumptions when it comes to marketing, you're going to make some mistakes or miss some opportunity because what works for one artist, I can tell you for certain that what's probably a core tactic for an EDM artist or someone in that genre is going to be completely different or not necessarily completely different, but maybe different directions possible for someone in country music or Americana, where we know some of those genres still love CDs. And where if, you know, again, trying things is important. Testing things and understanding what your audience wants is a good thing. So thanks for the follow-up, Jessica. I thought that was great. And she gave us her name. The last call, we didn't know who it was because she told us the artist's name. But
oh, that's right.
Say her name. All right. This is a call from Jordan. Let's get to it.
Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Jordan Rowland, and I just recently put out my first single, and I'm using CD Baby as my publisher, and I'm trying to connect all my different music platforms. And my question today is concerning YouTube and my existing account. So before I uploaded my single, it's currently published and available everywhere. I had a page on YouTube, and I have not a large amount of followers, but enough to where I don't want to have to convert them over to the new YouTube page where my song has been uploaded. So I'm wondering if there's a way that I can continue using my old YouTube account and upload the songs from CD Baby to that older account. Because I have almost 40 followers on there. So it's pretty small, but, you know, to get people that maybe aren't super loyal to go over to my new account to see, to have them subscribe to that might not be easy. So hopefully that made sense. But if you can answer that question, if that's even possible, that would be awesome. I'm doing a lot of stuff right now, so for me to search the frequently asked questions pages and stuff, that's a lot of work. So if you guys can answer that question or any tips on connecting fans to all these different accounts, it'd be great. Thanks.
All right. Chris, you want to take this one?
Well, so I don't, and here's why. I didn't quite understand the difference between his old YouTube channel and his new one. What is he?
Let me translate, Chris. I'm assuming that when he says his old YouTube channel, he's talking about the channel he created as an artist. And I'm assuming his new YouTube channel, he's really talking about the topic channel that gets created you're in distribution.
Great. I can answer this one.
All right. Go for it.
All right. This one's easy now that I know what's being asked. Okay. So you have your own channel, which you operate, you upload stuff. Awesome. Keep that. Now you have this thing called a topic channel where the music you're distributing through CD Baby is showing up in the form of art tracks. You can combine those two things by claiming what is called an official artist channel. And you go into your CD Baby dashboard, go over to the featured tools section. There's a link that says claim your YouTube official artist channel. Click that and it'll basically put both of those things together. You still own the channel. It basically just changes sort of the format of how things appear. And then you can track things like subscribers and total watch time and all that between both of those properties in the same place.
Yeah, it's really great. You know, my band doesn't have a huge YouTube strategy, but during the pandemic, we've created a bunch of videos. I used our partner company, Rotor. I did a whole episode on it to create a bunch of videos. And we did, you know, some of these live Zoom call videos as well. And so I started having video content and I finally went and did this and combined those into our official artist channel. And it is great. It makes YouTube so much more usable or useful, I should say, for artists that aren't YouTubers. Because YouTube Music is there, and then it curates even stuff that fans are uploading. It makes it easy for you to curate all this. So your catalog is up top, like your music catalog, but then it's a great way to then start using playlists and finding things that people may post online about you. And so it's all in one place. All your subscribers happen there. And it's really useful. If you haven't done it, there's a link to do it on the dashboard at CD Baby, and you can connect those because they have to authorize that, you know, you are the right artist for this distributed music to this channel, and highly recommend it. I thought it was very well done and made it so much more useful and enjoyable for people who find an artist. And again, the artist is not a YouTuber or YouTube first strategy being employed for their music. It just created a better experience. Let's move on. We've got two more calls.
Hi guys, this is Nick. I'm calling from the band Crown and Conquering Child. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook and all the other kind of streaming platforms. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and listening for forever. I just got done listening to your episode about rejection, and I had two quick stories about that. The first one is that there's this guy who has been just in my inbox for 5 years now. Just every day I get that, hey, smiley face, hey, winky face. And then when he found out I put out an album, he was one of the first people to stream it. He was also one of the first people to tell me that he hated it. And I just thought that was very funny because he's no longer in my inbox. So if any of you ladies out there are having issues with dudes nonstop messaging you, just release a prog rock album and that will sort of drive them away. My second story with rejection actually happened recently. I started using SubmitHub and I submitted to this French blog because I noticed that we were getting some streams in Europe. And we got a rejection back, and it was basically that, like, we weren't unique and that there was nothing personal about it. And so we started a campaign to promote our upcoming music video and our upcoming single with the tagline, French people hate CCC. So, you know, you can turn anything into a positive if you know how to spin it. Thank you guys for all the help, all the laughs. Rejection sucks. And you feel like a music god until, you know, some dude who's been in your inbox for 5 years tells you you suck. All right. Bye, guys.
Oh, that was a great call.
I like that. I don't know, it's like dude repellent or something. But, man, having to make an album just to get someone out of your inbox, that's quite an effort to just get someone to go away. But well done.
Well, couple things. I love the idea that it's like, or the idea of like, there's attraction between two individuals and then you hear their music and you're like, I'm out. it's just one of those things. It reminds me of episodes. We won't get into it. It reminds me of some sitcoms like Seinfeld where he hears their voice and he's like, I can't, or their laugh. And I can't hang with this person anymore. Thanks for being vulnerable, Nick, but I loved how taking that rejection and turning it into an ad campaign saying French people hate CCC. I think that's a clever way to look at certain things. I hope all French people don't dislike your music, but it is a hook. It's a hook where it's like, what did this person do to French people? You know,
it has a similar appeal to your band's headline with, you know, hear the song that got us kicked off stage. It's like, oh, yeah, what, is it really terrible? Is it offensive? Why did people hate them?
Yeah.
Regarding the guy in the inbox, so my final thought, well, is to share what my initial thought was, which was that he's flirty or whatever, he's persistent, and then his writing you to say how much he dislikes your music, my first thought was, oh, he thinks this is like one thing where like there's a power differential or some self-esteem differential where he gets to come in and be the guy that like shits all over this music and that somehow that's going to make him even more attractive or something, which, I mean, maybe he doesn't speak highly of my thoughts about
humanity. I've heard that that's a thing that guys these days do. That's insanity, but I've heard that that's...
It's like the equivalent of like the first grader who has the crush on the girl so he goes and like pulls her hair or something.
It is.
Only much worse because the person's an adult.
They grew up and they're still pulling people's hair.
Yeah.
And wondering why they're at home alone. All right. Well, thanks for that call. We've got one more. Let's move on.
Hey, Kevin and Chris, this is Daniel Rondeau. I am a musician in Colorado, and I have a solo project right now called Daniel and the Walking Trees. Right now it's a solo project because I am a stay-at-home dad with three kids, all under the age of four, one of them being a four-month-old baby. And since we've had kids, I haven't really gotten to do music so much, but lately, since the kids have started becoming such good sleepers, I've been able to sneak out to my shed and record music for like a couple hour periods at a time. And I was not really wanting to do anything special with it except just get to play music for the first time in forever. And I started recording this song of mine, and it's just coming out a lot better than I thought it would. And it's getting to the point that I would really like to release it somehow. But my issue that I'm dealing with is I know that I'm still not going to see enough freedom to seriously pursue my music for, you know, quite some time, like either on the live gigging side or on even just the back end of it. So I was kind of thinking like maybe it'd be smart for me to just hold on to these songs or this song and then whatever songs I make in the near future. Or if you, I don't know, or should I like release stuff and just say, hey, here's something to listen to, and not really have any follow-up for. And I'm wondering if I should also put it on Spotify just to like hold the name, because it's also a new band project. It's going to be a band eventually. Right now it's just me recording all the parts because I don't have time to play or to have practice or have bands. Anyways, just wanted to see if you guys have any perspective on that, especially being fathers yourselves. And also, I just wanted to tell you guys, your podcast is amazing. Thank you so much. Right now, I was in the middle of listening to one. I was like, you know what? I just need to call because they're so great. I just heard you guys talk about how you sometimes make announcements of like what you feel about something. And then you said like sometimes we might listen back on it and decide that we're wrong about it and maybe we're hypocritical. And if it works for you, then do it. And I just love that you guys give so much wisdom, but you also have the humility to tell us that you also are wrong sometimes. I just like that. Anyways, thank you so much, and I hope that you guys can get back to me. Thanks.
Well, thanks for the call, Daniel. Really appreciate the kind words.
I feel seen. Or heard, I guess I should say. I feel heard.
Yeah, Chris and I try to be relatable. We're human. But we appreciate it. We appreciate it. That's, you know, we've tried to create a podcast that feels like real people talking about real stuff that we're all going through as artists trying to build an audience and make stuff happen. And pertaining to his question, did you have any thoughts, Chris?
Well, I was going to, you said, you know, building an audience and having a career, which is difficult under any circumstances, but particularly with new parenting responsibilities. And I can't imagine having three. I'm overwhelmed with one, but yeah, I think that I like that he has a very kind of cautious and realistic sense of what he's able to do, and he's not being overly ambitious and, you know, biting off more than he can chew in the music and parenting department at the same time. I wonder if maybe there's a little bit too much caution in the reluctance to put things out, which I guess I should simplify by just saying, once you finish something you like, I would encourage you to just put it out. Don't wait. There's never going to be some perfect moment where everything suddenly all makes sense and your band has arrived and you have a full album. And like, I mean, that day will come, but in the meantime, what will you have lost by holding on to things that could have had energy out there in the world and could have connected with people to help you build towards when you have way more time and energy and resources and all that stuff. So I think a little bit here and there is better than saving it all up. I'm not sure if that was even exactly the question, but is that how you sort of read the question, is like,
yeah. First off, one practical thing I would say, he mentioned having that he wants it to be a band, even though right now he's playing all the parts. That's totally cool. A lot of bands are actually just one person for the recording, or a couple people, but when they actually play shows or over time, they explode it out a little bit. So he didn't say the band name. And so to me, I would absolutely go ahead and release that song just for the purpose of getting that band name solidified.
Claiming the profiles on Spotify and Apple.
Yeah,
and other places.
Just so you have that, even if you didn't release another song for a year or two, that's something that you have locked in. And there's that aspect of it. But then I would agree with what you said, Chris. I feel like once you release a song and it's out there, momentum starts to happen or can happen. And I don't necessarily mean momentum like thousands and thousands of fans. And I mean more like personal momentum. I mean, you got a lot going on in your life with small children, which makes it challenging. But a little victory here and there sort of helps you, you know, have the energy and excitement to carve out that needed time, maybe for the next song or the next song, or just provides inspiration. Like, you did it. You wrote a song, you got it out to the world, and now you're just kind of pumped to keep that going. Because I think a lot of times what artists fight against is just all those external pressures. There's never, especially once you get past college and you start having family and stuff, there's never going to be a moment in life ever again where someone says, you know what, you just go take a month and sit by yourself and make an album and we'll take care of everything. You don't have to worry about work. You know, I mean, maybe a couple of you have been in that scenario. I know that's never happening for me ever again. So to me, just those little victories keep me rolling. You know, I've got a separate project that I have under the name Red Machine. There's three tracks live, but when I released the last one, it's something where, you know, I record and have, you know, just work on when I can here, but it got me so excited. I'm like, I went and recorded another one and another one, and it just kind of keeps things rolling. And when you have those moments where it's like late in the evening, you're like, I'm so tired, let me just stream Netflix. You're like, no, I'm going down to my music room and recording, because at the end of the day, that's what I want my life to be about. I don't want it to be about streaming Netflix.
Well, yeah. And I think also you mentioned putting out the single to claim your profiles, plant your flag. Suddenly you're a real band or a real artist. I also think that that legitimizes you when you, let's say you go live on Facebook somehow in amidst all your parenting and life, you find an hour a week to go live and maybe there's three people watching. But if you've got some music out there that's available, they're going to think of you as a real artist to some degree. And now you can go live once a week and add a few more people and a few more people. And there's like kind of something to build towards. There's some news that you can announce, or you can give progress reports on, oh, that, you know, when you play the song live, hey, this is one that I'm working on now. It'll be out in 3 months or whatever. Like, I just think something like releasing music, even if it's twice a year and only a song at a time, kind of builds a story alongside all of whatever else you're doing to talk to your fans, even if you only have 10 fans. So.
Yeah, actually that's a good point, because, you know, if you go live on Facebook and say, you know, the only people following your page at this point are family and friends, if that's where you're at. You go live, some of them will tune in, be like, ah, that's nice, he's going live on Facebook, I'll support him. And I don't say that in a condescending way, but that's how a lot of family and friends treat us as artists. Like, aren't they cute? This is so neat. And you're like, no, it's not neat, this is my life. And it sounds pretty cool and official if you say, hey, this next song's my latest song on that's been released to Spotify, even if it's your first one. You know, just that idea of like, oh, he's releasing music. This isn't just something, you know, because he had a minute and there's no kids around, why not go live on Facebook or something like that? So anyway, that's something where I think it helps tell that story, like Chris said. It makes it sound interesting and is a signal to people that you're actually doing something here.
Yeah, you're serious, which suddenly makes you legit.
Exactly. Well, that's the last of the calls. I must commend all four callers, because those calls were all interesting, informative, gave us something to talk about, relatable to a broader audience. You have been the benchmark for what a good call to the podcast can be. And so I thank you all.
We're going to have to mention that in the show notes now. We're going to have to say, you know, the topic at hand. Oh, and the best four calls.
Jessica, Jordan, Nick, and Daniel, well done. Well done. Podcast history made here on this episode. If you'd like to call our listener line, you can do so at 360-524-2209, or you can email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. We did have some emails. There's some great emails that I'm going to save for a later episode, because we had so many good calls. And, you know, calls can take a little bit longer, but I also think they're more engaging. It it's better to hear other voices as opposed to stumble, mainly me stumbling through reading them. We've solved a major worldwide controversy about Facebook. We've heard some great calls. We had a little news segment. I feel good about this one.
Yeah, and now between now, we're recording on a Monday, and the next time we record is Friday. We just need another topic.
Yeah, we'd love to hear if you have a topic that you'd like us to cover. Let us know, because there's lots of interesting things happening. It's weird because, like, when we started this podcast way back in the day, the whole just digital landscape was brand new, and one of the burning questions was, how do I get on iTunes? And so it went like this wave of understanding digital. Then sometimes it feels like you go through a valley where there's like, nothing new. We've talked all the interesting marketing angles that we can think of. And then it seems like it explodes again. It kind of goes through waves. I feel like there's a lot of great things happening right now. And
yeah.
You and I were on Instagram Live the other day, and Jackie Venson popped in the live stream. I ended up having a call with her. And she's doing some really great stuff on Instagram and Reels. And she's going to be on the podcast at a future date after of the marketing stuff that they have in motion for her upcoming release and all that. So we can kind of do a retrospective of it and
That's
talk about
cool.
what worked.
Sweet.
Yeah. So lots of cool stuff.
When do you know when the release is going to be?
November. So she's working with CD Baby. So we'll be working with her on those releases. And, but yeah, there was a couple of marketing pillar events happening that were really cool. I don't know if I'm able to say, so I won't, but, she thought it'd be great after all those, the culmination of all that, to kind of look back and go, this is what worked. This is what, you know, the results we got and all that. So I love that kind of stuff because I love being able to dissect, you know, what worked, what didn't, what surprised you, all that kind of stuff.
You know, this is a total tangent, but we have a new guest post that should be out on the DIY Musician blog in the next week or two. So I don't know if it'll be quite ready by the time people hear this, but it's a guy who's his last name is Bravo and his artist name is RAVO. So I assume he pronounces it Ravo, but he saw an article on our blog by Call Me Ace about charting on Billboard. And Ace had seen an article on our blog from Shannon Curtis about how she charted on Billboard. And she had seen an article by Tyke T long ago about how to chart on Billboard. And so now we have this fourth in a series of like one person's story inspiring another to kind of sort of copy their strategy, but also add to it because the landscape had shifted a little bit. And then that happened again with another artist. And now this is the fourth person, and he's done this really nice kind of layout of his strategy, as well as how things have shifted even since the last artist example. Anyway, so I'm excited about that because with all four of those examples, it's an artist setting their sight on a very specific goal and then having to sort of hustle and put all their focus into how to achieve that one thing. But it's way, you know, a lot of artists put out music and it's like, I want to have fans hear this, or like, or I want to play cooler shows. But it's not really, really specific. And in these, it's like, I want to chart on this chart on Billboard. And they all did it. So anyways, I'm just kind of proud of this community we have.
Yeah. Yeah. We learn just as much from all of you. And we love sharing that information, like connecting the dots for people. And it's really cool when especially when people make a very specific goal. That's what I like. Those are the things that, you know, help my brain unlock opportunities. When I hear somebody say, oh, I'm having success, and I'm like, well, what did you do? And they don't really say or what. It makes me, like, I don't get how they got to where they are. But when someone said, we did this thing, and here's what we did that worked, and here's what didn't work, then my brain just explodes with ideas that, you know, might be an offshoot of what they did, just like you said. And so that's what I love. And I think that's what we like to share here and talk about, and love hearing other artists doing things based on that information, having success. So, I think that's a good way to end this one.
All right. Peace out.
All right. Peace out. We'll see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.